Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 29th, 2022, 1 John.
All right, I think most of you have got this down, but our classes this week were Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's no class tomorrow. So you can still come if you want, but there will be no class. You can help Cliff and Ryan, or you can get in the way, one or the other. But they're going to be working hard for the next 3 days and getting in all new computers. And then the hard part is they got to teach the deacons how to use it. And me up here and all this stuff. I'm old school. So they have all this. And plus, a lot of this new stuff is made in China. You want to know why it doesn't last very long? It's made in China, for God's sake. So that's also a part. No classes tomorrow. Sunday? Well, Sunday is going to be Bible class, followed by communion, followed by a movie, and it's a great movie. You may have seen the picture out here of Uncle Bill, Debbie's Uncle Bill. He was a Merrill's Marauder. A member of the 3705, 3705th. It was headed up by Brigadier General Frank Merrill. They started out with 3,000 men. Their initial assignment was Guadalcanal. And then after Guadalcanal, they were sent to Burma. The Japanese were trying to go through Burma and hook up with the Germans. It was a critical importance that be stopped. And what they did in Burma was on the verge of a miracle. And out of that 3,000 men, and they accomplished every assignment in Burma. They accomplished it when they were physically dead. When they got done, they had 100 men, 100 survivors. Debbie's Uncle Bill was one of the 100, but on the way home, he died on the way home. And this movie does a great job. In fact, the person who plays Brigadier General Merrill actually served in the Jewish military. Was an officer in the Jewish military, Israeli military. He has a very tremendous presence about him, and he did a fabulous job. So we'll be showing that movie after communion. And this will all take place on the 3rd, Sunday, the 3rd of July. Now, I don't think any of you are going to watch fireworks or so forth on the 3rd. That gives you Monday the 4th to burn your house down. I've been a part of several of those. I've been to places where, well, you guys did a great job. You, what, did the tree catch on fire? And I was supposed to light fireworks. When I got home, I was wearing a swimming suit. My swimming suit was full of holes when I got home. It was a holy swimming suit. So this is a true holiday. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege that we have of living in Client Nation, USA. And we thank you for one more day of freedom you've given to us, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 6. In this verse, we have a contrast between the believer living the spiritual life in the first half of the verse and the believer living in the cosmic system in the last half of the verse. And then it's going to be expanded. What he presents here will be expanded over verses 7, 8, and 9. Verse 6, anyone who abides in him, that's the word meno, the Apostle John's word for describing the spiritual life, living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. Anyone who abides in him is not sinning. On the contrast of that, anyone who sins, living in the cosmic system, is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor is he knowing him. Now he amplifies this in the next three verses. Verse 7, he takes a look at the believer living the spiritual life. Little children, that is, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness, that is, maximum grace righteous production from living the spiritual life, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer. Now, a comparison. Just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is grace righteous. Now, verse 8. In contrast, the believer living in the cosmic system. The one who commits sin, that is, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. That is, he has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil. because the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now that's as far as we've gone in our exegesis, but I'll keep going. The rest of verse 8 will sound like this. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, first advent, namely, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then we have, after that, verse 9, and I guarantee you, most Christians haven't got a clue, especially the ones that read through the Bible in a year. And they go through this and they read verse 9, and there is more false doctrine that comes out of this, verse 9. I have to do by way of introduction before we even get started in verse 9. Because, well, let me read it to you. Let's just look at verse 9 from the King James Version. And you can take any version there. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Hey, I don't sin anymore. This is teaching that if you believe in Christ, you'll never sin again. Right? Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. Now that his seed remaineth in him. That takes explanation. There's a lot of guys, their sin never remains in them. And he cannot sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, you tell me what that just said there in that verse. And almost everything that I hear or read about is false doctrine. They missed it totally. You want to get screwed up in a hurry, just read through it. And I meet people all the time. I study the Bible on my own. Oh, well, that's great. I hope you do study, but you need to study the Bible under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, who is prepared for the ministry, who can guide you into exactly what God the Holy Spirit is saying here. And that's real important. So verse 8, the one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. That is, he has become an agent of the devil's disciple. When you sin and get out of fellowship with God, it's imperative that you rebound as quickly as possible. It's imperative that you keep short accounts with God. The believer who sins and does not rebound will remain in the cosmic system. And he is no longer motivated for consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. In the cosmic system, he has no spiritual life. And he does not live by the spiritual skills. And he winds up becoming negative toward Bible doctrine. Now he's living his life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. He is not only in reversionism, but he is also becoming a disciple of the devil. He is no longer a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, he has become the devil's disciple. The believer living in the cosmic system serves the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes an agent of the devil, a cosmic evangelist, and lures his Christian friends out of the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system. In fact, most born-again believers in the United States today are actually agents of the devil. Oh, they're Christians. They'll wind up in heaven. They cannot lose their salvation. They have eternal security, but they are living in Satan's cosmic system, and they are agents of the devil. Everyone in the tongues movement is the devil's agent. Every believer involved in liberalism and socialism is an agent of the devil. Every believer associated with Black Lives Matter or Antifa is the devil's agent. Every believer who is anti-laws of divine establishment, who wants to defund the police department, who attacks law enforcement or the military, he is an agent of the devil. So we have the one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. That is, he has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil. When you sin, you are not only out of fellowship with God, but you are also no longer filled with the Spirit. Now you are grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and are quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. And that means you no longer have a spiritual life. You have, from your own free will, chosen to depart from the spiritual life and enter into Satan's cosmic system. You are no longer living in the light of the spiritual life. Now you are living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. And you're blind. You're as blind as a bat. We call a blackout of the soul. Blackout of the soul leads to scar tissue of the heart. And you are blind. Spiritually blind. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent, recruiting you to get into Satan's cosmic system. The old sin nature provides the temptation. Temptation is not a sin in and of itself, just the temptation. The old sin nature provides the temptation, but your volition, your free will, must say yes to the temptation and sin. When your volition says yes to the temptation and you sin, that results in automatic departure from the unique spiritual life of the church age and automatic entrance into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Whether it's a sin of ignorance or cognizant, volition is involved in every single sin, and therefore ignorance is no excuse. The old sin nature cannot take control of your soul apart from your human consent, your free will saying yes to the temptation. The one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. The devil committed the original sin of any creature. The scriptures record three falls of Satan. 1 John 3:8, our verse, refers to the first fall of Satan. And Satan is the first creature in all of creation to sin. The first fall of Satan is not only found in our verse, but also Isaiah 14:12-14, the five I wills of Satan, amplified in Ezekiel 28:12-17. The second fall of Satan takes place in the middle of the tribulation, Revelation 12:7-9. And the third fall of Satan occurs at the end of the tribulation in two parts. Part one, first he is put in prison in the abyss during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 21-3. And then part two, he is cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, Revelation 20, verse 10. So, the one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple and agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now we continue with verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. This is the preposition eis plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the nominative singular of huios with the definite article, the genitive singular of theos with the definite article, and the aorist passive indicative of the verb phanerao. Now this verb phanerao is the same verb we had back in verse 5, and I'll bring that out when after we finish the exegesis. So we start out with eis touta. Eis touta. Touta is the accusative neuter of houtos. Eis, E-I-S, touta, T-O-U-T-O. Eis touta. And it introduces a purpose clause. Eis touta introduces a purpose clause that means for this reason, for this purpose. And then we have ha huios tou thou, the Son of God. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then the verb phanerao. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-1-O. Phanerao. All right, let's get a few points on phanerao. We had it back in verse 5, but that was a couple years ago. One, in the active voice, it means to reveal, to make known, to show. To reveal, to make known, to show. Two, in the passive voice, and that's what we have. We have the passive voice. It means to become visible, to be revealed, to appear. To become visible, to be revealed, to appear. Three, this is a reference to the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Incarnation and virgin birth. The Son of God left heaven, left glory, took on true humanity. God took on true humanity. He took on true humanity to solve the world's problem of sin. God loved the world so much. Impersonal love for all. Unconditional love for everyone. God the Father loved the world so much, He gave His uniquely born Son. He sent Him from heaven to earth to take on true humanity, to solve the world problem of sin. That's God's impersonal love, unconditional love for every human being that's ever lived, from Adam to the end of human history. That's God's amazing virtue love. And He does that because God would love to see every single member of the human race live with Him forever in heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Christ and judged in Him. So that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, have a personal relationship with the living and true God forever and ever and ever. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know was that very first Christmas. Three, so this is a reference to the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Four, this is the first advent of Jesus Christ. This is the first advent of Jesus Christ. Five, notice the a-o ending. There you have it. That's Omicron Omega. Omicron Omega, the A-O ending in the Greek is causative. Now, if you go to seminary, and it's hard to find a seminary that teaches the languages, there's almost none. It's almost non-existent today, and that's that. The closest you can get is Chafer's Theological Seminary. It used to be in California, left California, and moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and is now in Albuquerque. That's the best you can do in preparation and learning the languages. But when I was at Dallas Seminary, and I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek, I didn't learn this till the fourth year in Greek. And that was my minor. I had Hebrew be the major because it looked like a chicken walked across the page and didn't make any sense to me, so I thought I better major in that. But most of the students there, that was not what they majored. They majored in everything else. And languages were not important. Unfortunately, even for those who majored in it, oftentimes after they graduated, languages are not important. And that simply means spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness in America. The A-O ending is causative. That means he was caused to come. God the Father, he was sent by God the Father from heaven to earth to take on true humanity. Operation Grace. 6, his mission was to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin, which he did. The greatest victory ever fought, the greatest battle ever fought was on the cross. The greatest victory, the greatest battle, and Jesus Christ won that victory. He won that victory, and as a result, a triumphal procession, which we studied last night, 3 on Belwo, the demons were defeated. Ruling demons, demons in authority, defeated by Christ's victory on the cross. He solved the world problem of sin. 7, in Operation Grace the Cross, Jesus Christ was imputed with the sins of the whole world and judged for those sins once and for all, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. In Operation Grace, the cross, Jesus Christ was imputed with the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins, and judged for those sins once and for all, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. So we have the one who commits sin, that is the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, the first advent, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this is hina plus the aorist active subjunctive of luo plus the accusative plural of ergon with the definite article plus the genitive singular of diabolos with the definite article. Now I pointed out ace tuta introduces a purpose clause. We got that, right? Well, here is another one followed by another purpose clause. Hina plus the subjunctive. Hina plus the subjunctive. This also introduces a purpose clause and literally means in order that or for the purpose that. However, Arnton Gingrich points out that when you have eshtuta introducing a purpose clause, followed by hina plus the subjunctive that introduces the purpose clause, the second one is correctly translated, namely that. Namely that. And then the verb luo. L-U long O, luo. And luo means to destroy, to bring to an end, to abolish, to do away with. And who is doing the destroying and bringing to an end and abolishing and doing away with? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And ta erga tu diabolu, what is he destroying? The works of the devil. What is he bringing to an end? The works of the devil. What is he abolishing? The works of the devil. So the corrected translation, namely that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might destroy the works of the devil. One. Just as grace, righteousness, and virtue is sourced in the one who is righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ, so also sin is sourced in the one who has sinned from the beginning, the devil. Just as grace, righteousness, and virtue is sourced in the one who is righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ, so also sin is sourced in the one who has sinned from the beginning, the devil. Two, it follows that man cannot sin and then say that his actions, his sins, are from God, are sourced in God. It follows that man cannot sin and then say that his actions, his sins, are sourced in God. Three. Instead, all sin can be traced back to the originator of sin, the devil himself. Instead, all sin can be traced back to the originator of sin, the devil himself. Four. Participation in sin is participation in the very thing that Jesus came to destroy. Participation in sin is participation in the very thing that Jesus came to destroy. What did he come to destroy? He destroyed all the sins of the world, were paid for, imputed to him, judged in him, once and for all. They were destroyed. So participation in sin is participation in the very thing that Jesus came to destroy. Five. The Son of God was revealed in order that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God was revealed in order that he might destroy the works of the devil. Six, in point six, make sure you get this. We're going to see phanerao used in 1 John 3:5, verse 5, and phanerao used in our verse 1 John 3:8. Just as the Lord was revealed, phanerao, that's the verb phanerao, to take away our sins. And that's 1 John 3:5. 1 John 3:5, indeed you know that he, that unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed, phanerao, for the purpose that he might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in him, the impeccability of Christ. So phanerao is used in verse 5, just as the Lord was phanerao'd, revealed, to take away our sins. So also he was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. And that's verse 8. The one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, phanerao, namely, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So point 6 again. Just as the Lord was revealed, phanerao, to take away our sins, 1 John 3:5, so also he was revealed to destroy the works of the devil, verse 8. Seven. The final termination of all sin was the ultimate objective of our Lord's first advent. The final termination of all personal sin was the ultimate objective of our Lord's first advent. He solved the world problem of sin by his work on the cross. So the final termination of all personal sin was the ultimate objective of our Lord's first advent. He solved the world problem of sin by his work on the cross. 8. Thus, if anyone sins, his action can be condemned as the work of the devil. Nine. This runs counter to the very purpose for which the Son of God was revealed. The first advent, Operation Grace, the cross. He was revealed to take away all of our sins. So when you decide from your own free will to sin and get into Satan's cosmic system, that runs counter to the very purpose for which the Son of God was revealed. First Advent, Operation Grace, the cross. 10. The believer living in the cosmic system is not only the devil's disciple, but his production serves the devil. All of his production in Cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance. All of his production in Cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. So the believer living in the cosmic system is not only the devil's disciple, but his production serves the devil. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was judged for our sins. All the sins of the world were imputed to him and judged in him once and for all. And he rejected all human good and evil. He rejected all human good and evil. Goes all the way back to the garden. What was the one tree they were forbidden? What was the one test while they were in perfection in the garden? Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. The day you eat, dying you will die. And they died immediately spiritual death, and then they died physical death. They could eat of anything in the garden. They were in perfection in the garden. But it was a volitional test that was given to man, just as the angels had a volitional test. 12. The judgment of all personal sins at the cross means salvation for anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any easier. That's the grace of God. God doesn't expect you to work. He simply expects you to place your faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It doesn't get any simpler. And you have eternal salvation. You have eternal life. You have God's imputed righteousness. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the judgment of all personal sins at the cross means salvation for anyone who simply believes in Christ. So again, verse 8 says, the one who commits sin, that is, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil. Because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, first advent, namely that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that brings us to verse 9, which not only do most Christians not understand verse 9 and distorted into false doctrine, but so do many, many pastors as well. So we have to have, by way of introduction on verse 9, one, after salvation, faith in Christ, every believer still has an old sin nature. And every believer still commits personal sins. After salvation, after that moment you believe in Jesus Christ, every believer still has an old sin nature that hasn't disappeared. And every believer still commits personal sins. Now, John already taught this. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim, if we allege or contend that we have no sin, and that's sin in the singular, no sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in us. And then verse 10. If we claim, allege, contend that we stopped sinning sometime in the past, with the result that we no longer commit personal sins, we make him, God, a liar. And his word absolutely does not reside in us. So John has already made this very clear. After, and you, if you have 1 John chapter 1, then you'll have, you shouldn't blow 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. After salvation, faith in Christ, every believer still has a sin nature and every believer still commits personal sins, too. So this verse, 1 John 3, 9, does not teach that once you believe in Christ that you will never sin again. It doesn't teach that. I have met believers that have told me that. I have met them and they told me that they don't sin anymore. And I just, you know, you are so full of me, I know. I said, do you have a Bible? Well, yeah, get it out. And then I had him turn to 1 John 1:8. And I had him read 1 John 1:8 and 1 John 1:10. And he goes, oh. I know you didn't get that far as you're reading through the Bible, because that's, you're getting close to Revelation. You never got that far. You probably pooped out when you got into Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I said, you have a sin nature and you sin? Well, right now you just sinned. You just lied. And the Bible says You're following your mentor, the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. So this verse does not teach that once you believe in Christ that you will never sin again. 3. Likewise, it does not teach that if you do sin after faith in Christ, that you have lost your salvation. Likewise, it does not teach that if you do commit a sin after faith in Christ, that you have lost your salvation. It doesn't teach that either. And these are, this is all of things that Christians, false doctrine, it's out there everywhere. 4. Every believer commits personal sins after salvation. Now, you know, there's some churches that they do a lot of hallelujahs and amen, brother. And I was kind of expecting maybe one of you to say something like that. Every believer commits personal sins after salvation. 5. When the believer does sin, God has graciously given us a problem-solving device. And again, it's based on the cross. The problem-solving device of rebound is based on what happened on the cross. All the sins of the world were poured out on Christ and judged. All the sins committed when you were an unbeliever, all the sins you commit as a believer. These sins were poured out on Christ and judged. These sins were poured out on Christ and judged. So, Jesus Christ did all the work. He paid the penalty for all of our sins. And that's why salvation is by grace through simple faith in Christ. And that's why rebound, getting back in fellowship with God, is by grace, by simply acknowledging your sins, because they've already gone to court. They've already been paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the believer does sin, rebound is the problem-solving device that restores him to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and back into his spiritual life. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can He do that? Because of the cross. Because of the cross, those sins have all gone to court, been paid for once and for all. 6. While we are in our physical bodies on earth, we will never arrive at the point where we will stop sinning. While we are in our physical bodies on earth, we will never arrive at the point where we will stop sinning. And that's another category that they've been believers a long time and they've arrived. Well, they've arrived somewhere, all right. But they haven't arrived where they stop sinning. They just arrived where they're very arrogant, self-righteous, and so forth. Seven, as we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, we will change our type of sin we commit, the brand of sins that we commit. And our sins often become more subtle, but we will never stop sinning. As we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, we will change the type of sins we commit, the brands of sin, and our sins often will become more subtle, but we will never stop sinning. Let me illustrate that. Point 8. For example, the spiritually mature believer will avoid all sins of the tongue. The spiritually mature believer will avoid all sins of the tongue. He will stop judging, maligning, slandering, gossiping about others. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And sins of the tongue are done. They're over. And I've been around members of my family who were all believers in Jesus Christ. And we come up to be with my mom and dad and Deb's mom and dad and spend some time so they could see at that time, so they could see their grandkids who were little farts running around. And as we're going to eat or something, why, talking away, and I'm listening, and all it is gossip. And I just said, stop! This is all you're talking, this is just gossip. Why are you mentioning these things about these people? To make them look bad and you look good? That's wrong! I will not sit to listen to people gossip, slander, malign, and judge others. We can talk about anything. Let's talk about hunting. Let's talk about fishing. I'll even talk about flowers. I don't know anything about flowers, but we'll talk about them. I do. Debbie loves flowers. I tell you, the thing, they got a racket going in these florist shops. They have all these flowers that are cut. Charge you, well, maybe not an arm and a leg, but a finger and a toe. And you take it home, and the next day they're all wilted and dead and everything falling off. So I don't buy the fancy bouquets, cut flowers. I look for plants. Plants. Dirt. Plant. Growth. Alive. It'll be around. And even after it's not around, you keep it, it'll come back. Be around next year. And again, and again. And why, Debbie's got, we have a perfect windowsill that has just, she's got plants from the left all the way around the right, up on the table. They're crawling around and, you know, kind of like, feed me, Seymour. But I will not put up with listening to people gossip about other people. Because all you're doing is tearing them down and making them look bad and you look good. No. I'm not going to go there. The spiritually mature believer does not operate that way. The spiritually mature believer sins, but he doesn't commit sins of the tongue. He doesn't gossip, malign, and slander, and judge. That's not a spiritually mature believer. So the spiritually mature believer will avoid sins of the tongue. He'll stop judging and maligning and slandering and gossiping about others. In fact, he won't even listen to others that do commit these sins of the tongue. 9. When the believer does use his volition to commit personal sins, he automatically steps outside of the spiritual life. And he's no longer filled with the Spirit. When the believer does use his volition to commit personal sins, he automatically steps outside of the spiritual life. and is no longer filled with the Spirit. 10. It is impossible to sin when you are living the spiritual life and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to do with sin. It's impossible to sin when you're living the spiritual life and are filled with the Spirit, living your life by the Spirit. 11. The decision to sin is the decision to leave the spiritual life and enter the cosmic system. The decision to sin is the decision to leave the spiritual life and enter the cosmic system. So, 12. All sin occurs outside the spiritual life and inside the cosmic system. All sin occurs outside the spiritual life and inside the cosmic system. Now, this is a great verse. This is a great verse. In fact, and there's several places in John that I'm going to have by way of introduction. But that's all right. The Apostle John, everybody raves about the Apostle Paul, and he was maybe the greatest mind of all time. The Apostle John is number two. And the Apostle John uses the same vocabulary as the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the number one disciple around Christ in everything that he taught. So, this is fantastic. This is fantastic, and it just keeps getting better. And we're going to have a few more verses. We'll have to stop by way of introduction just to cut off some of you. See, some of you were willing to jump up and say, "I don't sin anymore." Me? We have to rename you Pinocchio. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God. Well, that's about as far as we can get. Maybe a few, maybe a little bit more. Whosoever is born of God. This is pos plus the articular perfect passive participle of ganao plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Pos as an adjective. It's not used as an adjective in our verse. It's used as a substantive. But pos looks like this. P-A-S. Pos as an adjective means every, any, all. But when it's a substantive, and that's how it's used here, it means everyone, anyone, everyone, anyone. And then the verb ganao. G-E-N-N-A-long-O. Ganao. One, in the active voice, it means to bear, to beget, to give birth to. To bear, to beget, to give birth to. Two, in the passive voice, and that's what we have, in the passive voice, it means to be born. To be born. Three, this is spiritual birth. Spiritual birth. This is regeneration. This is being born again. Four, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is born again, receives a spiritual birth. Five, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So that point six, now the church age believer is trichotomous. You're no longer dichotomous with just a body and soul and spiritually dead. Now you're trichotomous, and now you have a body, soul, and human spirit. You're spiritually alive. And you are indwelt and filled by God the Holy Spirit. So now the church age believer is trichotomous. As an unbeliever, we were all dichotomous, body and soul, but in spiritual death. Now, at the moment of faith in Christ, we are trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit, and we are indwelt and filled by God the Holy Spirit. 7. Now he has a personal relationship with the living and true God, and he has fellowship with God. Now he has a personal relationship with the living and true God, and he has fellowship with God. Eight, now he has the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live the spiritual life. Now he has the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. And then the preposition ek denotes origin, cause, motive, reason. It is correctly translated from God, by God, of God. Anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, salvation, doth not commit sin. Okay, well, we know what this doesn't say. So you come back next week. We'll be on our Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday schedule next week. So we'll see you all on Sunday, and then you can enjoy the 4th of July, and then we will take off and move on. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.